Has joined. Has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
We'll start in about 1 minute. We will be studying the second Aliyah from Parashat Mishpatim. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, Kuchabrichu Ishkinte, Bitkilu, Urkimu, Utkilu, Utkilu, Urkimu, Liata, L'shem Yudhe, Babate, the Yehuda, Shalim, B'shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah. Lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai Elohim alei namaseh yadena kunenei alei namaseh yadena kunenehu. The second Aliyah begins with Exodus chapter 21, verse 20, and completes with chapter 22, verse 3. This is a total of 21 verses. The number 21 connects to the name Echie, which is a name connected to Bina. Echie is spelled Aleph Hei Yud Hei. One of the ways of understanding Echie, the word, the last three letters, hey, yud, hey, haya, is cognate, and essentially it's the verb to be in a conjugated form. So we would say like is or will be. And then the aleph at the beginning represents unity. So Echie has the connection of unity is, unity will be. Unity is the goal, is the way I like to think about it. Starting with chapter, with verse 20 of chapter 21. Waki yakeh ish et avdo o et amato vashevet umet ahat yado nakom inakem ach im yom o yomayim ya'amod lo yukam ki kas. Waki yinatsu anashim winagfu isha haravayatsu yiladeha willo yihye ason anosh yanesh kaasher yasichim alabaal Aisha benatan biflilim uimason yihye winatata nefesh tachat nefesh ayin tachat ayin shein tachat shein yada tachat Yad regel, tahat regel, ukewiya, tahat kiwiya, petza tahat patza habura, Tahar habura Rukiya ke ishirin Avdo o ebein Amato vishachata Lachyashi ishafenu Tahat eno Leim shen Avdo o shen amato Yavilacha shi yishalchenu Tachat shino wikika Shor et ish o et isha wa meitzako Isakel hashor willo yeakel et pisaro Uval hashor naki weim shor nagach umit mor shilshom lehuad bivalav velo yishmerenu behemit ish o isha hashor yisakel Vegam ba'alav yumat Im kofer yoshat Alav natan pidyon Nafsho kekol asher yoshat Alav Oven yikach Ovat yikach kamishpat haze yaskelo. Imeved yikach hashor. O ama kesef sheloshim shekalim yiten ladonav. Hashor yisakel wiki yiftah ishbor o ki yikre ish bor willo yikasenu winafal shamashor o chamor ba'al chabor yishalem Kesef yashiv livalav v'chamet yihielo v'ki yigo shorish et shoreinu v'vamet umachro et hashor hachai v'chatzu et kaspo Wegam et hamet yechetun. O noda kishor nagach umit moshi loshim. Willo yishmerenu. Bealav shalem yishalem. Shor tamet ashor vehamet. Yielo kin glendog ishoro seut baho o mekaro hamisha vakar yishalem tachat hashor viarbatzon tachat hase im bemacheret Imatze haganav Behuka wamet ein lo damim Im zarcha hashemesh Alav damim lo shalem Yeshalem im em lo Venim kar nignevato Im himatze, himatze biado, ha Eva Mishor Ad Hamor Ad Sehaim Shaneim Yishalem. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. We will begin the English study again with verse 20. And should a man strike his manservant or his maidservant with a rod, and that one die under his hand, he shall surely be avenged. But if he survives for a day or for 2 days, he shall not be avenged, because he is his property.
Has joined.
Now, that's not something that really makes a whole lot of sense unless you attach an understanding of reincarnation. Because why would somebody who's hurt people not have to suffer consequences only when he dies? And the language of the translation, I haven't looked at the Hebrew to see if it's accurate, but the verse 20, the end of it, it says, he shall surely be avenged. But it's not clear who is he. Is it the manservant or the maidservant who got hit? Or is it the man who strikes that's going to be avenged? But unless you deal with reincarnation and those concepts, it's very confusing. And should men quarrel and hit a pregnant woman, and she miscarries, but there is no fatality, he shall surely be punished. When the woman's husband makes demands of him, and he shall give according to the judge's orders. But only when the man asks for restitution does the punishment take place. But if there is a fatality, meaning the woman dies, you shall give a life for a life. Now, that's a wonderful phrase. Life for life in Hebrew is actually nefesh tachat nefesh. Tachat is the concept of oneness. And as we all know, nefesh is the lowest level of the soul. But in the level of a fetus, there isn't even the nefesh. The nefesh might come into the body, but it's not fully ensconced in the body until it's born. And then this is the famous verse, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot. And if you give the idea of life for life as part of this verse, although one is verse 23, one is verse 24, you have six different levels. And one way of understanding that is that life for a life would represent the sod, and you're moving up the tree. Or if you say life for a life represents chesed, then you're moving down the tree. Now, verse 25, we continue with a burn for a burn, a wound for a wound, a bruise for a bruise. So we have nine in total. And that, with nine, we would consider the life for a life to be Keter, which would make sense because the next item is an eye for an eye, which is Chachma. Verse 26, if a man strikes the eye of his manservant or the eye of his maidservant and destroys it, he shall set him free in return for his eye. Again, this does not make sense until you look at the levels of reincarnation. And if he knocks out the tooth of his manservant or the tooth of his maidservant, you shall set him free in return for his tooth. So you're saying that that in truth, the loss of an eye is equivalent to the loss of a tooth. I don't think many of us consider that true. Verse 28, and if a bull gores a man or a woman and that one dies, the bull shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, and the owner of the bull is clear. The explanation of this on the physical level is a bull, which is the male aspect of a cow, its nature is not to attack people unless it's aggravated by them for some reason. We all understand the idea of the red that enrages the bulls. But if someone is not careful, then they're responsible for their own death. That's on the physical level, but there's also deeper levels in the reincarnation concepts. Verse 29, but if it is habitually goring bull since yesterday and the day before yesterday, and its owner had been warned, but he did not guard it, and it puts to death a man or a woman, the bull shall be stoned, and also the owner shall be put to death. Because the owner didn't accept the warnings. So it is responsible for the death. And this is also related to reincarnation. Verse 30. Insofar as ransom should be levied upon him, he shall give the redemption of his soul according to all that is levied upon him. This is the owner of the bull who is a habitual attacking bull. Or if it gores a young boy or a young girl, according to this ordinance shall be done to him. What ordinance? They're going to levy a ransom upon him, saying he needs to pay for his freedom. If the bull gores a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give silver in the amount of 30 shekels to his master, and the bull shall be stoned. Again, the number 30 represents the letter Lamed and a connection to the world that is coming, which is Bina. So it's very much in related to reincarnation. And if a person opens a pit, or if a person digs a pit and does not cover it, and a bull or a donkey falls into it, the owner of the pit shall pay. He shall return money to its owner, and the dead body shall be his. And if a man's bull strikes his friend's bull, and it dies, they shall sell the live bull and divide the money received for it, and they shall also divide the dead body. Or if it was known that it was a habitually goring bull since yesterday, and the day before yesterday, and its owner does not watch it, he shall surely pay a bull for a bull, and the dead body shall be his. If a man steals a bull or a lamb and slaughters it or sells it, he shall pay 5 cattle for the bull or 4 sheep for the lamb. This is just showing you the severity of stealing, where you need to pay 4 or 5 times as much as what you steal. And again, this is related to reincarnation. One explanation on the physical level is the reason for that is if someone is caught stealing, it implies that they've stolen before and it's not, they didn't get caught. We're in verse 20, chapter 22, verse 1. If while breaking in the thief is discovered and he is struck and dies, it is as if he has no blood, meaning it's his responsibility. The homeowner's entitled to protect his property, even up to taking a life. But all of this is related to reincarnation. If the sun shone upon him, it is as if he has blood. He shall surely pay. If he has no money, he shall be sold for his theft. What this is talking about in daylight, this thief has no fear of Hashem, and therefore his punishment is more severe. Verse 3, if the stolen article is found in his possession, whether a bull or a donkey or a lamb, live ones he shall pay twofold. So if someone steals a bull and sells it, he has to restore 5 times as much. But if he didn't sell it, he only has to pay 2 times as much. Now, if you think this is logical, it isn't. If you think this is valid, the Torah is always valid. We just don't understand it unless we evaluate it from the frame of reincarnation. That is the end of our study. Does anyone have any questions? We still have a few, little bit of time. I believe we're in paragraph 18 of the Perek Shirah. The last one we did was the bat. So the next one, Chasida Omeret Dabru Alav. Yerushalayim v'kiru alecha ki mala tiva ki nirta awona ki lacha miyad Adonai yohei wahei adanu yo. Yo ahida wanu heyo, Islaim bekoha toteha. This is a verse from Isaiah. The stork is saying, speak to the heart of Jerusalem and call to her, for her time has arrived, for her sins have been pardoned. For she has taken double from Hashem's hand, for for all our sins. To make sense of this verse, you have to understand the name Hasidah as the name of the stork. Because the name of the stork is Chesed, loving kindness in the feminine form. Why is the bird that we call a stork given the name of Chesed, loving kindness? And the answer, and yet the stork is not a kosher bird. And the answer to this question comes from the way the stork treats her children. She is extremely nurturing and loving to her child, to the children in her nest. And that is why she is talking about Jerusalem and pardoning of Jerusalem. Because that's the essence of Chesed, is forgiveness. Yet forgiveness we think of in terms of Chod, which is glory. So we really do need to contemplate this verse to get answers as to why the stork is speaking of pardoning of Jerusalem. And why is the city, Jerusalem, having been punished? Is Jerusalem as a city a living thing? And the answer is yes. Everything is a living thing. Everything has atoms moving within it. Atoms, A-T-O-M. Everything is connected to Hashem. The city of Jerusalem was a manifestation of the desire of the children of Israel. And this is what this verse from Isaiah is referring to. Does anyone have any questions? Our classes today, there will be three more classes. One is at 11 o'clock, and it is the last class in our basic classes. If we get it done, it's been a few weeks since we've been able to do that. 4:30, we have a deep Zohar. And at 7 o'clock, we have an essay by the Ari for the Parashah of Mishpatim. I hope you'll join us for one or all of these classes. You all have a beautiful day. Shavuot Tov, a good week. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Much peace and happiness in your life.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you, honey.
Shalom.
Shalom.